Again, since the microphone wasn't on before, this is the breakout session on overwhelm. And we're going to be passing out some things that you can take home later. But right now, I thought that I would start out by saying why I volunteered to do this program.
Little bit. I think sure. The folks in the back probably can't hear you.
Can you hear?
That'll be great.
Number one, I've been going through some intense overwhelm for the last few months. And I am so grateful for this program. Without this program, I would be going nuts. And so would everyone around me. First of all, the only way that I would find worth in the world was through my work. And I have been working all my life. And I'm 70 years old now. And I still was working like a fiend up until this week. And now I'm only going to be working a little bit. My husband doesn't believe that. But, but at least I don't have scheduled classes that I have to conduct anymore, and I can set my own pace. And that's always under higher powers' guidance, because I can be a workaholic, and I can get into trying to save other people and go on and on and on. And then in about 10 weeks ago, my husband had open heart surgery, and he had to have a valve replaced, and which was dysfunctional, and it made the aorta almost unfunctional, and so they had to replace part of that. And then they had to go back in and fix the bleeding and the blood clotting, and then his vitals were boop, 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 boop. Then we finally got released from the hospital, and I was his only caretaker when I was there, and it was awful. I know that a lot of it was the drugs he was taking, the fear he probably had, although he never showed it, and he doesn't like being an invalid. I know all that, but I had to be working, and the people that I work with are domestic violence perpetrators. So, I mean, I have all these people with all these people that, and then I got sick, and so it was pretty bad. But the person that I was training to take my place finally got accepted by the state board. And so it was just such a relief. However, over all of this in the back of my mind, the thought, I'm not going to have my work anymore. I'm not going to have my worth anymore. I would like to tell you that when I came into the program, I was in charge, just like Joanne was. And when I came to the program, I knew I didn't need it. And second of all, I didn't think it would work for me. And when I came in and heard them saying things that I would never say to anybody else, right out in public, and they were laughing about it, I thought, oh my God. But the only reason I came back is they had what I wanted. And I was 33 years old. And back then, if you were abstinent for 21 days, you could food sponsor somebody. Well, I hit the 21 days, and that was a big reward. And so I rewarded myself. And was back out for a while, Once wasn't enough, I had to do it again. But by the third time, I was really ready to follow whatever they told me to do. And that was huge for me. That was huge. I had to become humble, and but you know what? It really worked. It really worked. One, two, three were easy. But the rest of them, every single one, I went into it kicking and screaming. And even though that one worked and worked well and was thinking, oh, I was feeling good, I'd be kicking and screaming at the next one. And, but I did it. And, you know what? You know who I am now. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell you anything about my life. Whereas before, I had a lot of friends, but they didn't really know me because I would be who they wanted me to be. And it's such a freeing feeling now to be able to look people in the eye and to know that I am who I'm presenting. And that they're looking back at me as if they like me and respect me. And that is such a gift. And I used to think that my reward would be the thin body. It was the abstinence. I lost 125 pounds in this program, and I've kept it off. And it's one day at a time. And there have been things in my life that have been really good. There's been things in my life that have been awful. My son committed suicide 5 years ago. And you know what? The doctor wanted to put me on antidepressants. And I said, no way. No way. I am going to feel every single feeling through this. Which I never allowed myself to do before because I was told, stop your crying, you know, I mean, and I would feel them when I felt them, and I've been able to work with others that have gone through the same things, and it would not have happened without the 12 steps. I never had even a desire to eat over it, which is a godsend. My first marriage was to a paranoid schizophrenic. And the reason I married him is because I was real heavy and I didn't think anybody else would ask me to marry him, number one. But number two, I thought all he needed was tender, loving care and he'd be fine. If anybody ever saw the movie A Beautiful Mind, that was almost exactly my story, and I came out of that movie and I thought, you know, if I had only stayed with him, he would have won a Nobel Prize maybe. It was all my fault. But no, I've really worked through the program. I owe my life to the program. And I owe my sanity and my serenity and everything else. And so we're going to help. Bev is here today too. We're going to talk about what is your opinion of overwhelm and how have you handled it and what would you like to know from us? And so Bev, you want to take over?
Pinch my shirt.
Hi, my name's Bev. I'm a compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. And when Kay asked me to help her on this, I thought, oh, you know, we'll just get our act together and have our points and all of that. And so I'm really glad that she shared her story because if anybody can live through what she's gone through and still be abstinent, that is a big thing. And when we, as we were planning, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago about it, she kept saying, abstinence, abstinence, abstinence. It's the most important thing. And I find that to be true because without abstinence, my mind is cloudy and I can't see my higher power. I can't feel my way through. So it is important to put down the killer foods and stay on track. One of the first things I did was I looked up the word overwhelm in the dictionary. Guess what it means? Overpower. So I thought, well, where is my power? You know, where is my power? What am I really relying on? And if I'm overpowered by something else, I'm not relying on my higher power for sure. And another one of my first thoughts was, when I'm overwhelmed, I know that I just need to simplify things. Simplify and prioritize, for sure. Maybe I need to get something off of my plate. Pun intended there. Come on. I know, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. But yeah, maybe I just have too much stuff on my plate, on my food plate, on my life plate. Maybe something just needs to go. I found some things in the big book that talk about what we can do when we're overwhelmed. Pages 86 and 87 in that on awakening section that somebody read earlier today. I relax and take it easy. Easier said than done. And then as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. And I've come to read that as we pause, and we can find God in that pause. God is waiting for us in that pause. I think we all know the reasons for overwhelm and stress. Here's some of them. Relationships, beginnings or endings or ongoings, physical or mental conditions, like Kay was talking about, major changes, going off to college or a job change or a marriage or a divorce, financial difficulties, even a job promotion. You know, if you have good things happen, that could cause stress. When you expect perfection, yours or someone else's. Taking on too much, not understanding time management. You know, I thought about that. I think that boils down to prioritizing. Just picking what's the most important thing for you to do. And my big one, procrastination. Oh my gosh. I can procrastinate till I'm biting my nails, you know. And I think that goes to perfection, you know, because I'm afraid to try something because I might not be perfect. And we as addicts tend to overdo things. You know, are we overdoing program? Are we overdoing life? You know, maybe we're new in the program and we just want to get in the little steps and just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and be done with it. But that may not be the best way for you to work it. This is something that I've learned as I've grown older, to avoid putting myself at the bottom of the list. You know that old adage about the airplane? The pilot or the flight attendant comes on and says, if something happens and the oxygen falls down, put it on your own face first, and then you can help somebody else. We all know that. So I have to give myself oxygen first before I can help someone else. Another one I like is, I need to check with my higher power before I commit to anything. And it doesn't hurt anything to say, let me get back to you on that. You know, can I call you tomorrow and let you know? That kind of thing. We can always say no. And you know what? We don't have to explain. We don't have to give an excuse or a reason. Then, of course, the 12-step programs of recovery have a bunch of slogans that we can use. First things first, the next right thing. Live and let live, easy does it. Just for today, one day at a time. Another really good one is expectations are premeditated resentments. Have you ever thought about that in relation to yourself and others? So I kind of divided what I can do for program, because the title of our workshop was How I Can Simplify Program and Life and Have Time for Both. So in program, I just think, what is it that I do to recover from the disease of compulsive overeating or food addiction? And these days, my first thing on my list is conscious contact. I need to maintain that conscious contact with my higher power, and that helps me be abstinent. So, you know, sometimes abstinence is the most important thing, sometimes constant contact is. I think they're just really linked together. Then, of course, self-care. I'm becoming to realize that I am a child of God and I deserve to be cared for. We all are. So to help me take care of myself, I make sure I get enough sleep, make sure I eat nutritious foods, and make sure I move my body when it feels like it's got to move, you know. One of our members at our group in Grand Junction talked about how she sets aside Sundays as her program day. She concentrates on program on Sundays. Many of us try to do it every day, you know, if we can. Let's see. Oh, meal planning. That's a big thing, you know. It helps to have an idea what we're going to eat that week and go shopping and prepare the vegetables. I know you all know this from diet days or program tips. And, of course, another thing I do to help recover is go to meetings. And I meditate. One thing I've been doing lately is reading our daily reader. As I get in the car to get ready for work, I pull out the reader and I read the entry. Then on my way to work, the 5 or 6 minutes that I drive, I think about that. I leave the radio off, I turn off the phone, just think about what I just read. So another thing, and then that's kind of the program stuff. Then in life, things that I do to keep from getting distracted and off course. I try not to waste a lot of time on the internet. You know, I see some nods. Yeah, internet time suckers are really detrimental to my program. And Kay mentioned this before too. What is my feeling about my job or my function in life? Am I basing my self-worth on that? Do I think if I do a better job at my job, I'm going to be worth more as a human being? These are things to think about. So that's about all I have. I think we were going to kind of open it up for comments and questions and sharing. So thank you.
Well, don't you want to stay up here? Wow. So, does anybody have any questions or suggestions or nobody's in overwhelm? Oh, okay.
I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater. I run a crazy schedule. I mean, I just run a crazy schedule. I have more packed into a day than I should, and I found that frequently I would say, "Oh, I'm so overwhelmed." And then I decided I was only overwhelmed if I chose to be overwhelmed. And so I said, I'm whelmed. And it sounds silly, but that was more manageable. And it's like, yes, I have a lot on my plate. That is my reality. Now what do I do? But if I go, I'm overwhelmed, then the next right step is, oh, pour me another drink or whatever our version of that is. And so the words that we say to ourselves make a big difference. And, you know, if I put it in a positive thing, if I have a lot to do today versus, oh, I have so much to do, I can't, you know, it makes a difference. It's still the same amount of work. But my old tapes and my negative thinking can make picking up a piece of paper and putting it in the trash a gargantuan task. And positive thinking and working my program can make a gargantuan task manageable. A lot of it has to do with my attitude.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Terry. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Okay.
The cosmic joke with me is after working two jobs most of my life, I retired. I have no pets, no husband, no boyfriend, no children. I can do whatever I want with my time. Sometimes I get up in the morning, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so overwhelmed. I have so much to do. And you're laughing because I know many of you are still working or have a lot of responsibilities. But I remember like it was yesterday when my original sponsor met with me the first time. I was living in Seoul, Korea, and she gave me the big book and talked with me. And I stayed up the whole night referencing the big book with A Course in Miracles, Bible, a bunch of other stuff, and then I met with her the next week, and I told her that, and she said, oh my God, your first assignment is to only do a little bit of this each day. I said, oh, I'll never get it all done. And she said, listen, there's enough time, there's enough love, there's enough food, there's enough money, there's enough sex. And so when I start getting into overwhelm, which I'm sure you realize is so ridiculous when I have no responsibilities, I get on my knees, I ask God to direct me how I can be the best use for His service today and to remove that overwhelm desire. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris, a compulsive overeater. I used to create overwhelm, and it still is a default for me. And I found out, this was years ago in a meeting back in Baltimore, that I tended to do that because people who were very important were very busy people, and they had a lot of important things to do. And I was just staying home at that point, raising my kids. And for some reason, I really got off on the rush of being completely busy. So procrastination will help with that because sooner or later you have a really, really rushed day. And I was creating it because I was getting something from it. So what helps me is to say, what's the payoff here? You know, if the overwhelm is something I've caused myself, what is the payoff? Because there usually is one. And procrastination not being a defect, but more like a behavior that comes from a defect. I have to look deeper than the behavior to see what's really, really going on. Now, my sponsor always said, if you're too busy to get to a meeting and do a program, then you're too busy. And there's no discussion. Something goes, but not program. I've also done program 35 hours a week, and that was too much in order to still run a house and have a job. So there has to be balance, and what I find myself doing sometimes now is that I will take a pen in hand and say, of all this stuff on the list, because I'm a list maker, and just figure it out is not one of our slogans, but I'll take my legal pad and make a list. I'm just going to figure this out, and I'll say, what really needs to be done here? Generally, there are about two things on the list that actually have to be done today. And then, what would I like to have done will be a little bit longer list, usually. And then I also say, what do you really want to do? You know, and usually there's where, it's, gosh, I'd rather go for a walk. Or, gee, I'd really just like to go have coffee or something, you know. And so the overwhelm gets broken down into all this anxiety over two phone calls that I'm afraid to make. You know, so I'll put 12 things on the list so that there's so much there I can't possibly get to those phone calls, right? And I need to look under it and say, what am I really afraid of? And that is a very beneficial question for me always. Always. The list gets longer and longer and longer if it's piled up behind one thing that I'm afraid to do.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fear thing. Well, doesn't the big book say that fear is the root of all our problems anyway? I mean, you can always trace it back to fear, so thanks for bringing that up. Anybody else?
My name's Annie. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Annie.
And for me, overwhelm came about 7 years ago when I found out from my doctor that I have a brain tumor and that they weren't going to be able to operate on it. And so at first, I faced the end of my life, because that's what you do when they tell you you have a brain tumor. You know, it doesn't seem like you're ever going to live with that, because, I mean, if Hollywood wants to kill somebody off early, they give them a brain tumor. So, but mine is not malignant, which, you know, thank God for that. And it does cause a lot of challenges for my life, and I've learned how to live with them. But for me, what I have to do is realize that I'm limited now in what I can do. I'm not 20 years old anymore, and I'm not 100% physically fit. So when I overschedule myself, then my body just says, nope, you can't do anything today, you know? Because if I get a headache, I have to stay in bed. I mean, it's like cause and effect. Headache, bed, nothing else. It's just, you know, so that's how it is. And you know, I'm very fortunate that I have a job where I can work from home, and, you know, that's all higher power. I mean, the whole thing is all higher power, that even the time of diagnosis, to be truthful, because I had had some tests 4 years prior for the very same thing, and they didn't find the tumor. In 2003, and I really believe that if they had found it at that time, that they would have tried to do brain surgery and take it out. And because of its location, it's very sensitive in the area, but that was the way that they did it. You know, 99% of the time when I was doing research, they would do the surgery and then radiate the rest. But mine is in it's a very sensitive location. Optic nerve is there, carotid artery, I mean, just all kinds of really important things that I don't really want them cutting around personally. So I'm happy for it to be there, believe me. I mean, that might sound kind of funny, but so the, like you mentioned, the physical pieces can definitely, you know, we think that we're infallible even when we get older. I know teenagers definitely think that, but I think even as adults sometimes we think that there's nothing that's ever going to stop us. And sometimes things come around and they really make life more challenging, but it's how we handle it and how we have our attitude. I was able to step up and chair this convention. And, you know, here I am. So it's not that I can't do anything, but I have to be careful on what I choose to do just as much as everybody else. So thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stephen, recovering compulsive eater. First, I want to suggest that the two of you write a book, because you've got enough material in your lives. And the other thing I wanted to say was that, ironically for me, when I don't seem to have enough on my proverbial plate, that's when I'm most overwhelmed, you know, because that way I can spend like a double shift worrying about it all, you know, like, oh my God, this isn't right, oh my God. So that's the thing I'm least productive at, but I'm probably best at, and I have the most tenacious, or the most tenacity in worrying about things, and that's really my disease talking. So for me, if I get enough things going, especially things that are like difficult or impossible, for me, that's when I end up feeling the happiest, because I don't have time to worry about it. I just do it. So I just wanted to mention that if anybody's strange like me.
Yeah, it's not a microphone. It's a recorder.
It's just Hi. My name is Chris, a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And one of the things that I notice a lot is, you know, I'll have that list of things that I want to do, and I'll get, you know, maybe 3 or 4 done out of 20. And then I completely forget about the 3 or 4 and just beat myself up over the rest of them. And that never motivates me to want to then do more. And so I've been really trying to work on, you know, appreciating the ones that I have gotten done. And, you know, it also leads to that thing of feeling like I never have enough time, I'm never getting enough done. And so I read this one thing about clutter, you know, and working with clutter, and it just feels so overwhelming me because my place is so cluttered and I don't know where to start. And they said, just spend, you know, just do a half hour, put a timer on, you know, and then be done with it. And of course, after a half hour, I'm into it and I want to, you know, do more. But that whole idea has been helpful for me because I want to, you know, I've been slowly working at the clutter piece and it doesn't really look like anything's changed, but I keep holding in my mind what I have done, and then that continues to motivate me to slowly move forward and to not give up because it's not all done already. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
And of course, it's our way of doing things because we're addicts, is to put the aspirations way too high, and nobody could possibly do all that we've got on our list.
Hi, my name's Tiffany, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tiffany.
One of the things that my sponsor is really good at reminding me is there's a lot of tools, there's a lot of reading, there's a lot of program work, and I have a really busy life. And sometimes I just feel like I can't do anything, I can't do it all, so I let it all go. And then I'll try and get re-excited, re-energized, and I'll start making all these commitments of things I'm going to do, and she's constantly reminding me to try and focus on a smaller number of items instead of everything at once. And one of the things that I so value about her advice is just the reminder that if you can't do it all and you're only doing one, maybe two things towards program, just to remember step 11 is really where you need to be. So through prayer and meditation and abstinence, could that be enough with where I am with the busyness in my life? And do I need to feel the guilt for not doing everything else? You know, so just, I try to remember to be in step 11 when I can't be doing everything else. Sometimes that's enough. So.
Hi, I'm Jen. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was just, what we were talking about, earlier, I remembered a therapist had challenged me about 3 years ago to stop making lists. And that was about the most fear-provoking thing I think I'd ever even thought of. Because I realized something that I wrote down, a question to myself, what do I base my self-worth on? And a lot of times I base that worth on what I'm doing and not what I'm being. I think we talked about that in an earlier group today. And so by getting rid of these lists, I was having to rely on my higher power more than myself. And I have found, miraculously, that that generally those things that have to get done, those one or two things, they stay in my mind and they are accomplished, where the other things kind of fall by the wayside. And I don't remember them because they're not written down, but that feels like it's a gift in itself, that higher power is just helping me to calm my mind and to realize that I'm good enough just the way I am. And just because that list isn't completely checked off or crossed out, doesn't mean I haven't done any good. So, anyway, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Boo. I'm a compulsive overeater. And something, I've been going to a phone meeting, and I caught a lot of people that were visiting the phone meeting, and they used a phrase that I think is good to share here. And they were, I'm responsible to do the next indicated thing. And you know what? This is a 12-step program, and I'm like, one step at a time, one day at a time. And we can all, like, overdo plans, overdo the planning. So maybe there's a point where we just need to talk to that higher power, because I don't think he's going to overfill your plate in any way. So it's that you're asking for what the next thing is, the one step you got to do, especially when you're feeling overwhelmed. What's the one thing, God, you want me to do now, and then do that, and then ask for the next step. So one step at a time, one day at a time.
Thank you.
I'll even stand. I'm Jan, and I used to hurt myself with food, and I don't anymore, and I'm so, so very grateful for that. And I can relate.
Hi.
Hi. I can relate so much to what everybody has talked about. When I first came to the realization that I am the creator of my overwhelm, that was a little tough to take. But it was so great because I could really start to see how I got myself into those situations. And, you know, one of the things that I'm doing now that's really different is I use the tool of, making a list and organizing a plan of action, our new ninth tool. And I do make a list, but guess what? The one thing that never hits that list is my program stuff. Because I get up and do my program stuff first thing in the morning. I write down all my food. I call my food into my sponsor. We talk about anything that's going on. I make my 3 phone calls a day, which I do put on my food list so I can get that done in the day. I do my 5 things, my 5 grateful things before I even have my breakfast. And then I read a page of the big book. I read with my sponsor. I read the 24-hour-a-day reader. And now I have a sponsoree, so I have one. But all of that stuff is done before I even sit down with my to-do list. And then, you know, the other key that was that came up is sometimes the to-do list is kind of a beating thing for me, too. That's like too much. Sometimes it's freeing. It's like a balance because it's good for me to identify the 2 things that I have to do. And those 2 things, you know, what a relief. Well, I only have to do those 2 things. And I had the realization that was brought up earlier that those 2 things are really, really hard. And I didn't want to do them. But I magnified the whole list to be this big, ugly thing because there was 2 things that I had to do, I didn't want to do. And I would actually eat over that before. So I'm so grateful for working on this. Now, I've been in program for over 10 years. I came in at a top weight. My top weight was 228 pounds. And I actually, in the last 6 months, recommitted, you know, doing this program with writing down the food, you know, all of those disciplines and everything. And I've done that for 6 months and dropped 40 pounds in 6 months. You know what? It's working out because I have fewer instances of self-created overwhelm because I have to trust more. And I really get a square program first, no matter what. Because without program, I don't have anything else, and nothing else matters. Okay, so I do the program first. So when I'm really deep and overwhelmed, it's been better because I can stop and say, okay, what am I skimping on my program? Did I make my 3 phone calls? Did I, you know, and then I've been using those 3. When my sponsor first told me I had to make 3 phone calls a day, I was like, you're kidding me. That is like really a lot. Do you know, I'm on the phone all day with my work and I got to do this. But, you know, I now use that. Oh, yeah, I went to this seminar last weekend. Or a couple weeks ago, and it was IRS, and it was like, this was such a downer that I just was sick. When I got in the car, I was like overwhelmed. What mistakes have I made? What mistakes are I about to make? I mean, it was really bad. Guess what? Hadn't made my 3 phone calls. Boom. 3 phone calls, and those 3 people got me out of it. Just like that. So it's, I'm talking too much. But anyway, thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm Robin, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I do struggle with overwhelm a lot.
Hi, Robin.
And one of the things that I've found that's been unbelievably helpful to me is, used to be, you know, if I had to pick my kids up from school and I'm running late, and there's traffic construction, I get so bent out of shape, and my anxiety would just start to go through the roof, and I drive really, really aggressively. And now I have this fundamental belief that things happen for a reason. And so if there's a lot of traffic and it's going to make me late, rather than letting myself get really worked up about being late, I stop and just try to think about what could be the reason that there's this, you know, obstruction today on my way to get my kid. And it's really strange that I found that when I really let go of me trying to control my environment and instead open myself up to looking for cues from the environment trying to tell me something, the stress just dissipates and I'm so much more effective with my time because I'm not exhausted from being stressed all the time. So, anyhow, that's what I thought I'd share.
Kay has a little handout to give. And also in our discussions and our planning, we talked about the pamphlet Before You Take That First Compulsive Bite. And I think we have a supply of them here. So if you have not read that, come on up and take a copy for yourself. And in the past, I've made a copy of the thing and then Then I cut out the little tips in there, and I'll put one on my bathroom mirror or, you know, whatever, and I alternate it every 2-3 weeks, just so that those thoughts stay in my mind. We have a lot of good tools to use in this program, and some of the comments you guys had was just absolutely great, so appreciate all your willingness to talk and share with each other. We can do this, right? So you might think about before you go home tomorrow, what is one thing you can take off of your plate? What is one thing that it really doesn't matter if you get it done or not? So, okay.
Did everybody get one?
Okay. So I'll give it over to Kay to close it up because I'm not sure what she wants to do.
I just am really grateful to be able to be here and to be able to tell you about my overwhelm and to tell you about my life. I hope that it helps somebody. And I just think that we should be grateful every single day for this program and not to beat ourselves up for not working it perfectly, because none of us is perfect. And is progress not progress? No, it's progress. Not perfection. Yes. Progress. Progress. And we keep progressing as long as we're alive. And there's going to be more and more stages and more types of overwhelm. And along with higher power and the power in the group, can make it through anything. Thank you.
Why don't we...